This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Baseball is back. The 2025 MLB season is upon us. So what's the easiest way to keep up with all the big stars, top scores, and fun storylines from the night before? What's the solution? Is there a secret?
Chocolate milk and squats. That's a secret.
Not quite, Pete, but there is the Morning Lineup podcast, a quick, less than 10-minute morning highlight show from MLB. It airs Mondays through Fridays on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts. You bring the chocolate milk, we'll bring the baseball news.
Black Tie Moving, they're changing moving in the city of Memphis. How are they doing it? Very easy. Showing up when they say they're going to show up. Staying on the budget that you guys agreed to. That's all it is. You'd be surprised how many moving companies in Memphis can't even do that. Who can't show up when you guys agree they're late, you're waiting around. Hey, I thought we were going to do this at 8. It's 9. Where's everybody at? You don't have to worry about that with Black Tie. I'm telling you. I've used them twice. They got there early. I'm like, man, you guys are on it. And my move got done same day. It was super easy. Nothing got broken. My walls didn't get scratched. If I ever have to use them again, I certainly will, and I'll be glad to. I tell people all the time. They're like, I don't know. Who do I call? Black Tie Moving. Stop playing. 316-6196 is the phone number. Black Tie Moving, they're changing moving the city of Memphis. Call today. Oh, anxiety. Dochi? Y-N. You're a big Dochi guy?
Oh, getting there.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. A talent unlike we've ever seen, maybe.
I don't know, unlike we've ever seen.
I got it.
Respect.
Respect burger, the Dochi. There's absolutely no question about it. This show is and continues to be woke. We will push that propaganda every day on the show.
Has nothing to do with race. Just about an artist.
Well, just the ideology is woke. Mm-hmm. You know, that's our niche, bro. Like we, you know, I'm
I would, yeah.
A flaming liberal. Mm-hmm. I mean, I bring that to the table. You bring what, right-wing conspiracy theories? I mean, this is just kind of the way the show has gone since we started, right?
Right.
So, all right. Every day around this time, we do the rundown. Let's go. Don't give up. Don't give up, man. What was that Elton John song? Don't let the sun go down on me. Don't let the... Why is John singing that? And why is he singing it so well? You might ask.
Karaoke was on Wednesdays.
Is it Wednesdays?
At some places, I'm sure.
When I went down to San Antonio for the Final Four, I did some karaoke. I don't know if you
guys. That doesn't shock me.
I don't know if I told you guys this, but it was. I don't want you to be offended, Jace. I don't want you to be offended by this, but it was Toby Keith, "Who's Your Daddy?" Okay, I don't want you. I knew you're gonna be offended, man.
No comment.
And it was fantastic. It was a wireless microphone. So I was going around the whole, you know, I jumped off the stage. I was doing some real crowd work.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic. I mean, it was obviously, there is video of it, the likes of which you guys will never see. It's in a vault. And it will be submitted into the Smithsonian for best karaoke performance anybody has ever seen. So it doesn't surprise me that I would be able to sing so well. But the question is, why am I singing Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me by Elton John? And what does it have to do with anything? Well, very simple. John Canzano, who at this point, he might just be trying to get subscriptions and clicks from Memphis people because they will click it. I don't know. But he had a piece up yesterday about the Pac-12's expansion plan. I guess they've gotten stuck on, what, 7 schools? And they're looking for that last football member, right, to really launch this thing off the ground. And one theory, hypothetical, that he posits is the idea of Memphis coming over as a football-only school. and he does it in a way that's like not that convincing, but obviously he's heard it from somebody, which is why he's mentioning it. But the way he kind of put it was, Memphis and Tulane are still out there, but it would surprise me if the Pac-12 took them as all sports options. Sources at those schools aren't wild about sending their Olympic sports athletes to the Pacific time zone. I think the ADs in the Pac-12 feel the same about flying volleyball, baseball, and softball players eastward. Maybe the Pac-12's best play is to take UNLV and or Texas State and then try to add Memphis and or Tulane in football only. Discuss among yourselves. he also does add that if UNLV goes to the Pac-12, he expects Air Force to come to the American. I don't know if that does anything for you. Just another service academy to lose to, I guess, for Memphis. But no, they were terrible last year. They were absolutely awful. I think Memphis actually could beat Air Force. But Ed Scott, when he came on with us a few months ago, that was exactly what he talked about, right? He talked about the hang-up in the deal was I couldn't send my Olympic sports taking a two-flight, you know, travel to Corvallis, Oregon. I couldn't do it. So this is a way, if it is indeed plausible, this is a way to accomplish, okay, I figure out football, and then, to me, if you're sending football to Pac-12, it must mean you've got a deal with basketball to take them out of the American. Because otherwise, you would just send basketball to the Pac-12 as well. Why you would only send football and not basketball would not make any sense to me. To keep the basketball in the American?
Right.
I mean, that would be ridiculous. Football is actually better in the American. Like, it's pretty damn good. I mean, you got Tulane, you got South Florida, you got, you know, Army was a top 25 team all year long. Like, yeah. Football in the American is not really the problem. Mm-hmm. So it really wouldn't make sense to just isolate football for the sake of, you know, keeping basketball in it. You know, it's basketball that needs saving, not football.
Right.
So I don't know if that is something that intrigues you. But
that's the only way I would consider it is a basketball deal with you on sending football alone. There doesn't make any sense. It seems like to me, I can't imagine this is coming from the Memphis side. This is sort of sounds like a guy trying to devise a way to work it out, mm-hmm. where you get best of both worlds.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will say, I mean, Ed Scott's talked about it. It's not just the traveling your student athletes, you know, to Corvallis or wherever else, and you know how that it would extend you just in terms of, you know, financially. It's also the fact that they were only going to give you $2.5 million on what would be around $25 million that you would have to pay in exit fees. So you're going under beforehand, and until you're addressing that right in a proper way, now having to travel every student athlete, and I'm in that much of a deficit, no way. Now if you take off, yeah, pull one program over, that starts to look better. But again, for Ed Scott, for Memphis, that's not in your best interest. I'm
right.
with you.
Right.
If I'm going to send one, what's Gonzaga got in it? Its basketball program?
That's it.
And that's what I would send because, frankly, it needs the most help. Basketball needs the most help.
Yep.
It needs the better conference more desperately.
Absolutely.
And particularly right now, it doesn't get any quality wins out of its conference.
Right.
You know, football has its road. Like you said, it's in there with some peers that are like it with Tulane in terms of spending.
Yep.
But you can sit right there at the top of that thing. And your path, at least as it is right now, is carved out to the college football playoff.
Yep.
So long as you can win the AAC, beat out Boise State as the Group of Five representative.
Exactly.
That path's carved out, and you can do it from the AAC.
Because honestly, every win in football is quality because you only play 12 games, right? I mean, and so you still have a chance to make the playoff.
And here's what you're also hoping, that, yeah, you're still playing some dog AAC teams in Simmons Bank, but in a couple of years, you're hoping it's going to be a new experience in Simmons Bank with the renovations that you've got coming there. I'm just saying you're better built football-wise to be at the top of the AAC. Right, to do it right here with these teams. Basketball is the one I would be interested in sending up because I would agree right now you can only send one program up there. What they should do is pay the cost. Make it a real conference. They can't do that because they don't know right now what they would get, you know, in terms of a TV deal because they don't have enough. So they don't have a number.
Yep.
But if this was real, you would get serious about doing more for Memphis in terms of the exit fees and getting them out. And really go about this the right way, but they're trying. They are in many ways, and we've used, it's disrespectful. At least the offer so far, and how they're not valuing much when they're only offering $2.5 million to help you on $25 million exit fees, and then telling you got to travel everybody across country to play them. That doesn't work. One program maybe, and if that if it's going to be one, it's like you're calling the Big East on you're calling them on basketball. I'd be calling them on basketball only.
Right. I think that's what Dan Wilkin mentioned that they were doing, like they were the Big East. Although there is a perception problem that he mentions with the Big East, but I mean, Memphis does have Rick Pitino lobbying behind the scenes. That's what they have.
They're not Big East. We can make all the calls we want to, and seemingly we have. They're not picking up the phone. They've made that clear over the years.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want us.
Yeah.
Now, how's that change? Because you were a top 25 program last year.
Because the Big East wants more tournament teams. I mean, and the bottom of their league sucks right now. I mean, that would be the argument. I don't think it's enough. I don't think it's compelling enough.
What it ends up meaning is you're sharing more of your piece of the pie.
Correct.
When you bring in.
But if they're a consistent tournament team, you make that back in tournament units.
As opposed to an alternative of, okay, SEC years ago said, we got three tournament teams for it. We need to get this better. They've got, Big East has got money to invest in these programs, get better coaches, and the bottom can come up. A lot more so in terms of what you're able to do potentially than the AAC, which can't. We're asking all these bottom feeders in middle school. Big East can. That conference can be better in what it has right now. It should be better than what it has right now. Self-improvement is what I'm talking about.
Totally.
As opposed to them being more willing to share a piece of their pie with Memphis, which cuts back on them. I would love if the Big East pick up that phone and seriously consider you, because now they've said, you know what, we see Memphis' value. That's a tournament team every year. But they got to be willing to share.
Right.
Few are these days. Everybody wants more. That's where college athletics is.
Exactly.
How can we get more?
Yeah, because, you know, you're trying to keep up in the world of NIL. You're trying to keep up in the space.
And Pac-12 has not offered enough. That's the bottom line right now to Memphis.
No, they haven't.
And they get serious about this. Yeah. We can get serious. With the way that Walken has also written, this thing's about to open up in 2030. I wouldn't sign anything long-term with the Pac-12, even if I was going. Mm-mm. That'd be a bad move.
Yes.
If everything's about to break up as predicted.
The grant would have to expire in 2030.
100%.
So.
And so how long a deal is that? How much does it actually help you? Probably doesn't. You're probably best suited right now.
Well, because now.
Stand pat if that offer doesn't get incredibly better from the Pac-12.
Yeah.
It's very simple. It's just keep it at the math.
I like it, man. You're kind of taking a page out of, you know, the current administration's book. Is we are only going to make good deals, right? Well, we are not going to make bad deals that aren't good for us. We've been ripped off.
Saban's running things.
The Pac-12 tried to rip us off,
yeah,
and we're not going to do any deals with the Pac-12 that ripped us off, right? So you want a better deal that's fair for everybody, that serves the interests of all, not just the Pac-12. And that's why you are implementing a 145% tariff on season tickets for Memphis next year to fund the stadium.
Yeah, don't need to do that.
But no, in all seriousness, you know, you're running out of time. That's the other issue, is that,
are we running out of time?
Well,
Pac-12 is running out of time.
Well, you bring up that 2030 date.
I mean, that again, is it not better to just focus on that?
Well,
especially when the offers right now are so disrespectful.
That's kind of what I mean. Like, if this would not get done before next football season,
you
right?
know what you got to find out? If Ryan Silverfield's the guy's going to get this thing where you need it.
Well, that's
what you got to get.
That
found,
is the biggest priority.
Right now, in the next 5 years,
it's harder to find that out when you play, you know, the schools of deaf and blind, but.
You play schools of deaf and blind, John. You win one of the non-conference. You're in a position to be the best thing in the group of five.
Yeah,
you know, with what's on there.
I mean,
you got Arkansas
should.
Coming up. I mean, you know, this is doable. It's doable right now. It needs to be the conference games. He should have won already, and you'd be hoisting trophies. You'd be being compared to Boise State. You'd be up for the spot. That's where it needs to be if you're serious about being a factor in 2028, 2029, and 2030.
Right.
When these talks open up.
But like you mentioned 2030, though. It's like
it now.
The Pac-12 is not going to take you just to keep you for 3 years. That's almost like a waste of everybody's time,
no,
right?
That's why they're not looking at it as any sort of they're going to do any real investment in you and bring you over.
Because that would be right now.
Things about to get shook up.
I think the idea was, you know, you would join this year when these talks were taking place in the fall. It's like, all right, you go 25 through 2030.
Would have required the early exit fees that were $25 million SMU paid.
Right.
You ain't got their pockets.
But now the earliest you'd be able to join is 26, and that feels still very soon.
Yeah.
You know, so then you only have, you know, 3 full years, 26, 27, 28, 29, 29, 30.
Are they even any closer to a TV deal yet with an actual number on it? That's what, to me, until you're coming to the table with that, like the actual deal?
Yeah.
What are we talking about here? You can't even tell me how much each school's getting.
Yeah.
You're just, everything's still a
guess. No, it's still
theoretical. And how many months longer have we gone into this? It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want us to leap out on faith on this one. Now, there's certain instances you do that. This is not one of them. The math, as Ed said, is not good enough.
Yep. So anyway, that was an update. At the very least, it was an update that Memphis is still. It's not ruled out completely. It just might look a little different than we thought it might. Right? Not basketball. By the way, the Pope is American.
Okay.
I did not.
We're all over this thing here. Yeah. And we need to get the.
I did not get the African American part right, but I did get the American part right.
Okay.
Robert Prevost has been elected. He was a plus 15 million underdog on FanDuel. So congrats if you had him. But yes, he's an American Catholic.
Was that the name you said earlier?
No.
Okay.
No, he was not the. No.
Oh, you said the favorite earlier, the guy with
the Italian,
thought.
Yes. Okay. Robert is from Chicago.
Okay.
He attended Villanova.
So I'm looking at him now. I see a picture just in 3 minutes ago.
There you have it. A little bit of a surprise. Have we had an American Pope before? Like how long has it been? Feels like it's been a long time. I don't want to put you on the spot. I was kind of just pondering.
Oh, you don't,
that.
Huh? Yeah, just ponder it out loud.
But yeah, there you go. That's the breaking news. American Pope, Memphis still in the American Athletic Conference.
Lakers and Bob. We're going to talk about Knicks Celtics. I don't know why. If maybe you had money on the Celtics and you're disappointed, but this is a big sports story. How the Celtics, the defending champions, are blowing this to a team that they handled in the regular season, won all four games. Credit to the Knicks, because it's true. I'm starting the story off as Celtics lost. Celtics are down 0-2. It's incredible what the New York Knicks are doing right now. And Drew touched on this when we talked about Jalen Brunson and where you'd sort of rank him right now in the NBA. That wasn't a great Jalen Brunson offensive game last night. 6 of 19, 17 points, because he's been so clutch, Mr. Clutch, throughout these playoffs. Man, New York just did it with defense down the stretch, and the Celtics just did it with you're going 8 minutes without scoring in the fourth quarter after you have a 20-point lead again. Celtics are getting really good at building 20-point leads and then expecting to lose. Because what else is happening? Windhorst is talking about they're getting shaky when they have the 20-point lead. Whereas
right.
Most games over, you're putting your foot down. This team is now starting to believe we're going to blow this, and you could see it in the fourth quarter. No, this wasn't a deal where they had to shoot 63s, only hit 15. They brought the number down. It wasn't just missed threes. You can't just, talking to Rob, one of our listeners, and he's absolutely right. You can't chalk this up. A lot of that narrative off game one was, this is their process. Go 15 of 60. This is what happens. Celtics will lose. They cut down the threes last night. They were missing everything. Jason, mid-range, everything else, going to the basket. Jason Tatum was 5 of 19. He's got one made field goal in two fourth quarters. How? With what you're paying him, with what he's done in this league. Well, I'll tell you what, a lot of it's Mikal Bridges. Big shout out.
My God.
Big shout out to their defense down the stretch on Tatum, who they made go left. He doesn't want to go that way. 20 seconds earlier, he had made the one field goal he's got in the two fourth quarters, driving straight to the basket and dunking. Well, Mitchell Robinson got caught up and screened on that one. They made the adjustment when the Celtics didn't call a timeout. After the Knicks had gone back up on the Brunson free throws, they made the adjustment. Mitchell Robinson got around. OG's holding his man, and they built a wall that ends up with Jason Tatum not even getting a shot off. And for the second straight game, Celtics don't even get a shot off. Remember, the last one ended in Mikal Bridges pulling the ball away from Jaylen Brown. Well, this one ended with Mikal stealing it again. Jason Tatum trying to throw the ball to somebody else because he's too covered. This is crazy to see this team executing so poorly down the stretch, as talented and as highly paid as they are. It is. This is about, and Rob's absolutely right, I've said dogs, whatever, built to beat the Celtics, and now they believe that they can.
Yep.
The Knicks want it more. The Celtics are acting like, sure, yeah, on paper, we're champs. Our system works. These threes are going to drop at one point. I don't see the desire. I also don't think Jaylen Brown last year's final MVP is fully healthy.
Right.
King George and I were talking about that off air.
And Porzingis got some stuff going on, bro.
I could tell by the way that Jaylen Brown's game won that he weakly swatted at Mikal Bridges. Now, he clearly thought the game's over, but he weakly swatted at Mikal, taking the ball from him, that he is not in the same shape that he was last year when they rode him. Jason Tatum got on his back. So to me, again, it goes back to Tatum, who, yes, had the wrist injury. Some could be chalking this up to that. But he finished off Orlando with 30-something, 35, 36, 37 point games. So we cannot blame this on a wrist. This guy, unfortunately for him, at the very same time, a guy who's already sort of been questioned in this vein, at the very same time, they're running, again, a trailer for Superman, which I believe the new one's out in July, that's got Jason Tatum as the focal point, as mild-mannered Clark Kent pulling the buttons off and becoming Superman. That is happening while this man is not putting his foot down in his team blowing 20-point leads to the Knicks.
Crazy.
Monica McNunn made a point that I want to ask you if you agree with. Her thing was, and of course, they're not doing this if they don't beat the Pistons. But the way they had to beat the Pistons, I think it's six straight games for them now, which is crazy. It's been decided by one possession or fewer. No, one possession. Six straight games. But how tight that was, how they came out on top of it, and now you see them down the stretch closing these things out, that the way they beat the Pistons, as crazy as it sounds, and as lower level a team as that is compared to the Celtics, that's just made them believe more winning that way, winning down the stretch of games, and it's helping them close out these Celtics in the ends of these games.
Yeah.
Clearly they want it more. I mean, that's where we can start.
I think both games, it was like a 98% win probability, maybe
more.
Yeah,
99 on one of them, and yes, I think I got to 98 on the other.
I mean, it's just insane. Watching that run at the end of the fourth quarter yesterday was surreal. Just how it was all falling apart, basket by basket. One thing I would say,
99.1 last night, 98.2 in game one.
Got it.
Were the highs.
One thing I would say about the Celtics is that they were down 3-0 to the Miami Heat in 2022. They ended up losing the series, or it was 2023. It was 2023 because they lost game seven.
Came all the way back, lost game seven.
Yeah, because Tatum sprained his ankle in the first quarter and had to leave the game. So who knows how that game went. So I will say they've been in situations like this one before, where they've come back and at least had a chance to win it. with that being said, Jaylen Brown's not healthy. KP's got some stuff going on. And you start to question like the pieces, Peyton Pritchard and Sam Hauser, like when it looks great and everybody's making threes, it's easy, but when that's not happening, and it hasn't happened, it shrivels up, really, when you put it under a microscope, I would say. I don't know what Tatum was doing at the end of that game. I don't know where he was going. I don't know what he.
It was a credit to the Knicks defense. They pushed him into what they call the torture chamber.
They had three dudes on him, and he was not – just nothing but arms. Nothing but arms, man. You weren't getting out of that one.
They are 25 of 100 now. 25% both games from three-point range. They did cut down 20 threes less in terms of attempts this second game, but it wasn't just the missed threes and the poor shooting that's costing them. It's going 8 minutes without a field goal at all in the fourth quarter. And then, now getting shaky up 20. Like Wendy said, you can't figure it out. Most teams that get up there, the confidence builds. This one, because of who they're playing, perhaps because – again, it's Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby have just been relentless defensively. I cannot continue to go on without saying Josh Hart's name. This dude, man, all he does is play 40-something minutes a game. And last night is 23 points, 6 rebounds, 3 assists. Everybody always says you got to get him a blow, got to get him a blow. Feels like the dude's playing every minute of every game. And, appropriately, just feels like he's playing with a lot more heart than most of these Celtics. I told Rob, Drew Holiday about the only one I see out there that really wants it.
Yeah.
And it might just be as simple as that, brother.
Yep.
Want it more.
Yeah, I mean.
That's what it's looked like.
Now, all it takes, as we know, is one game where the threes come back to the mean a little bit.
Well,
it could look different. I, I, you know, down 2-0, it's hard to say the Celtics will win the series, but I do think the Celtics are the better team, you know, overall on the whole. But their stars are not playing as well as the Knicks' stars right now. I mean, that is the difference in the series.
Is their five with Horford in it better than the Knicks' starting five with Karl-Anthony Towns going 21-17 last night and Hart giving you what he is? Just with Horford in it. Really, it's a separate conversation if you put Porzingis in.
Right, right. I mean, maybe not. Yeah. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's not better.
Now, when they, like we said, when they put this team together, it was built to do this.
Right.
Now, they kind of made a laughing stock out of my old – I literally said it could be one of the best starting lineups.
Yeah.
And we had to bury that terrible take during the regular season.
Buried it.
They were great offensively, but they sucked defensively.
Yes.
It has come together.
Right.
This, remember, it was built with defense in mind with OG and Mikal Bridges.
It certainly was.
And they are a wall for Brown and for Tatum right now.
No, I mean
– amazing. Mazzulla, what are you doing? Everybody's asking adjustments. The guy's like, we got to hit our open shots. Call out your stars. Stop being scared like Chris Finch wasn't scared to do. What Mazzulla's just watching. You're right. Mm-hmm. This is not his culture.
Right.
He inherited one that Udoka helped build. And these dudes are showing they ain't grown yet. Now, again, Jaylen Brown, I think, has got an injury excuse.
Yeah.
Tatum, you need to be kicking in the door. This is embarrassing.
Well,
I would be embarrassed.
Some have said they're no longer pronouncing it Tatum.
Well, how do you pronounce it?
Tatum. Jason Tatum. Until further notice.
All eyes on you, bruh. And you're the one with the Superman trailer right now. What are you doing? You got one field goal in the fourth quarter, both games.
But
he's, you can't put him on superstar level right now.
But you said there's no S on his chest. So he's Jay and Tatum. He's Uperman. How you going to be Uperman, bro? That's crazy.
This is your dude, Celtics fans, you want to go to war with?
I think he
was great in that comeback against the Heat down 0-3. We're still holding on to that.
Well,
he had a couple good games in the finals last year, even though he wasn't named MVP.
Yeah.
You know what he is? He's a bus rider, not a bus driver.
I think you're probably right about that.
He prefers the going when it's good.
Yep.
When it's tough, somebody else do it. That's just where I'm at on him.
I think Tatum is...
Jaylen proved that last year.
I think Tatum is a bit of a front runner as a player.
Good when it's going good.
He's the guy
that three is dropping.
He's the guy that will make, like, ridiculous threes when the team's up 14, right?
He can come out of this.
Yeah.
I'm not doing this to hate on him.
Yeah.
I'm pulling him. He was a Memphis War Eagle.
Yeah.
We want better for him.
Yeah.
He should be light-skinned LeBron. I used to call him
that.
I've ripped that name, that moniker, off of him.
Now, in fairness to him, he did have that dunk to put him up with 18 seconds left. I mean,
bro,
that, you know, he did
do
that. It was
the one field goal in two fourth quarters.
Yeah.
It's the least you can do.
And then when
he tried to do it exactly again,
they
went to the same play. Mazzulla didn't even call timeout.
Yeah.
They're blowing this top to bottom. But I'm looking dead at Tatum and Mazzulla.
Well, that's who you should look at. I mean, Tatum is
the highest paid
player.
This is unbelievable. Should have jumped on the Knicks in this one.
I mean, that's the way...
Now it's flipped.
Yeah, I think they're like minus 130 on the series.
You just got to win one in New York, really, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, then you have...
You're right, though. I mean, Boston has that 0-3 history, so it won't be a case where they don't believe at all. They're going to have some belief they can come back. Even.
Exactly.
Yeah, but this Knicks team, I believe, can put them down.
But the Knicks do what they do better than anybody else still playing is they just grind, bro. They grind.
There's only really six of them.
Yeah, there's only six of them. They
played seven guys last night?
They
played eight guys.
Miles McBride, Terry Johnson.
Precious doesn't even play.
Precious does not play.
McBride, our man campaign, played 5 minutes.
Terry Johnson.
That's who I didn't get. And then Mitchell Robbins.
Yeah, Terry Johnson.
Terry Johnson, that's right. That's what he told the cop.
Yeah, that's all I can
see. Terry.
That's all I can see when I.
Terry Payne.
It's like Terry Johnson in the game, bro.
We put that behind us. We took that, didn't that charge get dropped down?
Yeah, but some things just live forever.
Terry Johnson's a good Memphis name, though.
It really is.
It's a good throw-off name.
I think that's the dude who was in the firework video for the fourth, right?
Backup Terry was his name. I don't know if it was Johnson, though.
Right. I don't.
Because if he did, then Cam just ripped off Backup Terry's whole name.
I mean, people don't give us credit for this, but we actually discovered on a wide scale that Terry was from Memphis. People did not know that at the time. His cousin called in. We did not know that at the time. We found out that Terry was actually from Memphis. You know, but we don't get the credit for that, do we? No, we don't. We just keep on pushing. We keep on plugging. That's what Warriors do.
Yeah.
That's what Memphis War Eagles do, man.
Tatum's going to do it at some point.
So I guess you just don't have anything to say about the other game that happened last night?
You know how disappointed I am in my Nuggets.
Dog.
We were just happy.
Come to the front.
We were just happy to have stolen home court. I believe we let 7 Thunder players score in double figures. Coach Jokic told us, guys, save yourselves.
Yes, he did.
Save yourself for game 3 and 4. We're going to take the L here.
Bro, they took.
And once he did, yeah, I went to bed.
That man, that folks.
He's our coach.
It was 45-21 after the first quarter. It was over.
I know.
It was over.
And he said, save it.
Yeah, and that's the smart thing to
do. And it's smart. They've already stolen home court.
Yep.
And they are thin.
Very thin.
Very little margin for error with them.
Yep.
And so you got to put in, you know, you got to call off the dogs, man. Yeah.
I mean, to me, like obviously the Thunder will not score 149 every game.
Can we get back to OKC 2-2? Because we're not getting back 3-1. Can we get back to OKC 2-2? We'll get one of the two at home, right?
My Nuggets will get one of the two. But what worries me though is that it's very possible that Michael Porter Jr. and Brown combine for 11 points in another game, right? Like that is the issue for them. Is that they're dependent on guys like those two. And
I know it's so thin.
Brown's made a leap, but he ain't that.
He's frankly, he's more consistent defensively now than he is offensively.
Right. And then, Michael Porter Jr.'s hurt. Like he's dealing with the shoulder, you know. So I think it's a tough road for them. And Jokic looked beyond frustrated last night. And they shot 41% from three. I mean, it's not like they were awful. You know, they put up 106. It's just they got boat raced by a Thunder team that said, all right,
yep,
we're showing the world right now.
I mean, it could look like that the rest of the series. It wouldn't shock me. I feel so stupid now for getting on Nuggets and not Knicks in our contest.
Yeah, look, one thing is I'm never going to
– John's on Pacers.
I'm on the Pacers. I don't have a bet on it.
It was the easiest one at the time.
Yeah.
And then you had the Cleveland guys out.
Right, exactly. Yeah, you –
But you will win, and I will have to give you credit.
The unofficial underdog challenge that I did not know I was participating in.
It's always a contest with us. Stop.
Isn't it odd that, as we're going to get into Fade Brad, isn't it odd that I have more equity in my Timberwolves series bet today with them being down 1-0 than I did before the actual first game started that they lost? That is nuts to me.
Wow.
Because it closed, I believe, like, -200 before the game, and it's now -215 Timberwolves, and they're down 1-0. I mean, if that does not tell you the expectation of the Warriors without Steph, right? I mean, that the market thinks that the Warriors are going to be an absolute disaster, like, and they may lose their next 3 games without Steph. It could be 3-1 going back to Minnesota.
Just trying not to lose 4 here. You got to get to game 6. Whatever happens,
yeah. I
just win 1.
I don't know. I don't know if they can. We'll get a good gauge of it tonight.
Jimmy can go nuts in 1.
Yeah.
That's what we need.
I mean, that
Donovan Mitchell like 40.
Right.
Everything gets on your back because Draymond's not going to hit those threes.
And Buddy has to still be good, too.
He has to. He has to. You're right.
You know, it's not just
Pod does
an
too.
Extra now. Yeah.
You need everything at this point. No stuff.
I mean, again, I think tonight probably looks a lot like what we saw from Oklahoma City, you know?
Yeah.
Like, it's line the same. I did have OKC -10 last night, as you know.
Those winners.
But I hit that. Yeah, we don't.
You won't tell
losers.
Me about that Celtics bet you had.
I did not have the Celtics last night.
I know you would have already. I would have told you about it because I had charged
yes,
you with it.
I did not have the Celtics last night. I was. I'll say this. I heard of a very famous poker player that had Knicks +11.
Was that Earl Barron?
No, Phil Ivey.
Whoa,
had Knicks +11. I be getting info, bro. I know what's going on in the world. And he obviously went outright. I don't know how he does it, man. There's us, and then there's Phil Ivey. But no, I did not have the Celtics last night. Did have the Thunder. I don't think I'm going to have the Timberwolves tonight. I think I'm just going to sit back and watch and hope they kill them, you know, and get more equity in my series bet here.
Yep.
But, yeah, I don't really expect to have much tonight. I have one more, George, here, if I may. I'm just going to sort of cede the floor to you, though, because we had an option in the over-under for amount of Oscars for centers. 2.5 is what we set that number at, because, you know, I had that 3-leg parlay, best director, best film, best actor. And, you know, it's one thing for me to set that. I saw it. You had not seen it as of Monday or Tuesday or whatever it was. That has changed.
Yes.
You have now seen centers.
6:30 showing.
Set the scene for us, man.
Cordova Malco.
Whew.
Got some great seats there.
Oh, man.
And took my date there last night by ourselves. and enjoyed a splendid, as you said, movie-going experience.
Now, I have some questions about that experience. Popcorn, drink,
oh, yeah.
Candy?
We did it all. Popcorn, hot dog, walked right up to the
hot
front.
Dog!
Because on a Wednesday night.
You got, and these hot dogs!
My date had the nachos and got her extra jalapeno.
Damn!
You know,
life is good.
It was like whatever you want.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah, because John has told me we're going in to see an Oscar-winning performance by Michael B. Jordan.
This man has splurged. This man got a hot dog, extra jalapenos
let me tell
on
you
the
what.
Nachos.
Let me tell you what, and I love Malco, but they know. Two people, hot dog, nachos, ticket price, $120 just about. I mean, that's what it feels like. I mean, you're getting hit. It wasn't like the old days.
What's the old days?
When I used to get in the movie, the $2 movies. Y'all don't know nothing. The Apple Tree. Y'all
you,
don't know nothing
go
about
to the $2
that.
Movie
I mean,
if
what you,
want
you spend now, what you spend now
bucket.
On going to a movie, even just two people, forget a family, reminded me of why I barely go to the movies anymore.
Right.
It's just very expensive.
All right.
But we have to support them because Malco, the Cordova Malco, has the recliner chairs, man. The push button recliner. It's worth it now. It's worth it. I'm not going to spend 20 minutes on this like you did.
Well, we're tariffing films.
I am. And what I've said I agree with you on is the movie-going experience. It reminded me like of coming out of Django or Pulp Fiction. It was fun. The experience was fun going to the movie because you got it all. Sound, visual, the performances were great. And Coogler is brilliant. You know, behind the man behind this thing, Ryan Coogler, who we talked about earlier this week. His wife, when Coogler didn't have it, goes out and buys him his first screenwriting software for $300. I mean, that story just about a husband and wife supporting each other, what they're doing now, both worth millions. But it started just in a basic idea and dreams and all that. Now he's on top of the movie-making business. He's done a great job here. It's set in Coldwater, Mississippi, 1930s. I'm expecting, as you've told me, a lot of blues. It's based around blues and the sound and what it meant, you know, to that generation, black folks back then. But what I wasn't prepared for, too, is sort of the dive into Irish folk music. So Coogler, like, weaves two things together. Because on the other side of the Michael B. Jordan performance is this unbelievable performance as the villain. You didn't mention his name, I don't think. Jack O'Connell.
Yeah.
Bro.
Remick is his movie name.
Remick is the name of this guy. He's the villain. I'm not giving out any plots. I'm going to stick with what John did. I think that was great for me because John didn't spoil it for me. I went in there expecting, you know, yeah, sure, great performances, but he left me so much. But this dude, I believe a British actor, Jack O'Connell, 34 years old. He's been in some stuff, but nothing I'd seen. That man made my skin crawl with his performance. Like, he's brilliant. And so in terms of, like, nominations and stuff, this guy.
Mm.
And then, again, the way he, you know, he's the whole Irish folk music part of this. You got the blues, you got Irish folk. He's weaving that in. Oh, man, what a performer. This dude, unbelievable. Michael B. Jordan was good, like you said. We asked Jessica Benson about it. She thought, too, great performance from him. I don't know if he's got – I hope he gets nominated for Best Actor. I don't know. I thought playing two people would give him an advantage. I'm not sure. Because there was some – I'm just going to be honest, guys. And I've been critical of Michael B. Jordan, been wanting to see him show his range, grow. Felt like Coogler's put him in a position to do that. Maybe I was watching, listening too closely, too intently. Felt like there was some Terrence Howard in the accent, Terrence Howard, Hustle and Flow,
yeah.
Missed it a little bit.
Yep.
That other than that, the guy, he's great because it's like you said, he makes them seem, even though they're twins, the characters he's playing, he makes them seem like different characters. That's acting. And so he does. I hope he gets nominated. I'm not sure if it. By the time those roll around, we'll see. My guess is this going to be nominated for 7, 8, 9, maybe 10 Academy Awards and win Best Editing.
Best Editing.
It's going to be something like that.
Yeah. Nah, I mean, I
just wouldn't be shocked. I mean, that's how these.
But
what I would say, rather than going in there and saying which performance is Oscar worthy and all that, is it would say, man, great movie going experience. What you said, original, man. It's just fun to go in there and see something new. And in this case, it's real in the sense that Coogler's going to weave in some history.
Yes,
feels
yes,
a lot
yes.
like the old Tarantino flicks, man. That just keep rolling, even
yep.
though they're pretty. They're substantial. I mean, they're long. There's a lot to take in. I think you said it kind of feels like two movies too,
because mm-hmm.
that happens.
Yep.
But I got nothing but good things to say about Sinners. You're right, and everybody that said it's good, and I know you went in there expecting to, everybody says it's good, so let me be prepared. Hey, let me go and tell them the real. I might have to hate on this. You were impressed. I said that. I think that says a lot, and I was the same way.
Yeah, I don't.
And especially about Michael B. Jordan. I was like, well, John says it's Oscar worthy. Let me see.
Right.
Bro, but other than that little the accent one or two times,
yeah.
Trying to do the southern draw and
sure.
all that. And I'm,
yeah.
I just feel like at this point, man, we got to hit that. You know, we got to
yeah,
be able
I mean,
to nail
I,
that.
Ideally, you know.
You know,
I
Jamie Foxx is Ray Charles. Like, you don't miss nothing.
Yeah.
Like, you've had time. You're comfortable with cooler.
Right.
And I don't even know if anybody's talking about that. But my wife and I thought it was very, it reminded us of Terrence Howard in Hustle and Flow with the main. He just overdid it.
Right. I think that's a fair call
but
out.
It's that's a very small
nits.
Thing.
Yeah.
I am. That's only because you said Oscar.
No, I mean,
word,
well,
and you know
happens.
How I've been
yeah,
on Michael
the
B.
The bar is high. The bar is
but,
high.
But the guy, he's clearly very talented. Please don't take this as hate.
Yeah.
And I think he's got it within him to take over. I really do.
What did you think of Hailee Steinfeld's performance? Probably the first time you've seen her in a film, right?
Yeah.
What did you think? Anything?
She's solid. She's good.
She played the role well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, she had the scene where, you know, she cries when he walks off from her in the middle of the room. That's really, you know,
yeah. fantastic.
It's not easy to do to call up that emotion that quick and
yeah.
then turn it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, she's clearly a great actress.
Yeah.
Her performance didn't move me like a...
Right.
Like my boy, O'Connell.
Yeah.
You aware of this man?
I was not aware of him before the movie.
Is
no.
that? I want to make sure I got his name right. I had to go look it up
but
after
it was,
the movie. It was that good a performance from him.
We're coming up on the weekend, and if you, and we are not paid to say this. If you haven't seen it,
well,
go see it.
Go to Malco. We love Malco.
Because again, like more than anything, like it does. It's like let's support the films that because you know in the 90s, right? In what I consider sort of the golden age of American cinema, we had so many movies that were just like trials. They were just ideas. They were just like. You know, the Goodwill Huntings, right? The Rounders, the movies that were ideological, or you know what I'm saying? Like more of a let's attempt something here and see if we can strike fire with an idea as opposed to, oh, we're just going to do an adaptation of a book or we're going to do an adaptation of a remake and we're going to that's all well and good. But, you know, like I enjoy original ideas and seeing those ideas come to life, you know, and real.
Co-sign that all day.
Organic stories, you know. I mean, that story in the setting was just fantastic, man. It was just like, who would have that idea? Who would have the idea?
Well, that's, again, original thought.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's why AI ain't going
to
do that.
That's right. To do a horror film about vampires set in 1930s. Sort of Jim Crow era, Delta, Mississippi, you know, I mean, who would have that idea and then execute it and it'd be good and meaningful and emotional? I mean, I don't know about you, Jason, but I got emotional at the end scene there. I don't want to get out, but it was just, it had everything. You laughed, you know, you cried, you felt scared. It just hit the entire range of emotions that one can feel. I was rooting for the, you know, one of the twins, you know, throughout the movie. I'm like, yeah, you know, yeah, you know, it's just amazing, bro.
Just to your point about originality, two of the trailers that I saw were another Final Destination. You remember that old
yes,
series?
Yes.
There's a new one
yes,
coming.
Yes, bro. Like we're on
a remake of
now.
That, and then 28 years later. I don't know if
yes.
you ever saw it. Like there
28
was 28 days,
days
and
yes.
then I think there was 28 months.
Yes.
But there were a couple of those. Now they're doing a 28 years, while it hit the old. Heartstrings, because
right.
I loved those.
Yeah.
It's just the old same idea,
exactly.
just reworking it.
Exactly.
So to get that, you know, this dude's going to go up there, Coogler, it's the last thing I'll say on it, with the best, the Scorsese's,
yeah.
the Tarantino's, the Hitchcock's, I'm telling you guys,
yep.
this guy is brilliant.
That's right.
And it's not just for anybody on the other side of this just thinking, because of it, maybe you could, hey, so it's a black film because it's starring Michael B. Jordan. It's not just a black film. This is a film for America. And again, it dives into the blues, but it also dives into Irish folk music in a way that, man, I was learning things. And
absolutely.
So this was fun, and I would absolutely go see it again. And y'all know how rare it is for Smooth to pay that much to go see a movie.
Absolutely. So
it was good stuff.
Good to hear. I'm glad you enjoyed
Jack O'Connell, my goodness.
Yeah, that's his name. Hey, it's going to be just as fire down at Smoke Slam this year. It's coming up next weekend. May 15th through the 17th. And it's not just a barbecue competition. It is an immersive experience for the entire family to enjoy. You're going to have those tastings, those samples, get you some really, really good barbecue, some good queue down there. Got fireworks, got Ferris wheel, something for the entire family. Next weekend, mark your calendars, Smoke Slam coming to Memphis.
For the expert barbecuer in the family, that might be dad, it might be mom. Melissa Cookston's going to be down there. She's a 7-time world champion, going to be doing a meet and greet. So you can get your tips, you can get your book signed from her, and they're going to have a bunch of great music going on while this is all happening, and fun for the kids with the Ferris wheel, the fireworks every night. Musical lineup should be great. Revivalist, Country Music Giants, Big and Rich part of that. Waylon Wyatt, Mark Edgar Stewart, and many more. You can do three-day passes or single-day tickets right now. They're on sale over at smokeslam.com. Real easy to get to, smokeslam.com. You can also check out the VIP experiences that they've got available. Going to be a fun family time down on the river next weekend, May 15th through 17th at Tom Lee Park with Smoke Slam 2025. It's Mother's Day on Sunday. Men, I'm talking specifically to you, but women too. Women's, you guys got moms too. And we all we got to do, whether we're man or woman, we all came from mom, didn't we? So if you've still got mom, I don't. I wish I did. You better be taking care of her. And the way you do that is get over to Denstall's Candy. Celebrate this wonderful time with mom. I hope you're doing brunch or something. And then right there in the brunch, pull out that Denstall's candy, whatever her favorite is. Maybe she loves their chocolate-covered strawberries. They are a staple. Fresh ripe berries dipped in Denstall's fondant and covered with rich milk chocolate. Doesn't it sound good, even just talking about it? Get over to Denstall's. If she's got a favorite fruit, they can cover it in chocolate. It's a great way to say Happy Mother's Day, and they'll gladly custom pack whatever her favorite assortment is. Creams to nuts, caramels to nougats, turtlettes to truffles. You can choose from that array, whatever she likes, and they've got sugar-free options as well. So stop by Denstall's today. Let them take care of mom for you so that you're taking care of her in the right way. Laurelwood, Germantown, Cairo, Pleasant View, or the new store downtown. Stop on in. Say thanks, Mom, with Denstall's candies, made in Memphis and enjoyed by the whole world.
They said you gone full unk mode, bro.
I appreciated that, and I appreciate that gentleman listening. Was it Jimmy Dalgood or something like that?
Yeah.
On this, John's making a reference to X.
Jimmy Dugood said it wasn't entertaining to hear you unk jive, but it is mildly entertaining him hear him do it today.
Well, again, that doesn't sound like it's a compliment, but I appreciate his listenership, and I prefer Uncle Smooth or Deacon Smith. Either way,
they say you do it back in my day. They played harder.
Yeah, I didn't do back in my day.
You did not say that. But
I'm sure the vibe was there. Yeah, I think it's a call out. It's much like what Chris Finch did with Anthony Edwards after his light didn't shine as brightly as it needed to in game one. It's what Missoula didn't do last night after his stars keep letting him down.
You got to say it like.
Particularly Superman.
You got to say it like this,
if
man.
If that sounds like Unk or whoever,
right.
Then so be it. It's me.
Unk, Crunk, Drunk, Nixon 5.
There you go. Yeah, I'm not. I don't want to be Shannon now.
That's Unk, I thought.
Yeah, Shannon is Unk. Yeah.
No, but you're an Unk. You're Unk status. You're almost 50. Right?
I am an uncle, and I would embrace that if that's the moniker that Jimmy Dugood wants to roll. I just appreciate him listening.
If somebody calls
haters, supporters, all your listenership is welcome. Howard Stern was more hate listened to than he was love listened to.
Go watch Private Parts.
And so please, by all means, continue to listen.
I think Jimmy Dugood.
We love
right?
you guys.
I think
he's one of us.
He's a supporter.
It
right?
felt like it. No, I took that again as a compliment. Yeah. I really did.
I do believe, by the way, just to sort of get this on the record, I do believe that it is the first American Pope, the selection, just to bottom line that whole story. So history there.
George made a great, great observation that this is why we're getting this from the Knicks.
The Nova Knicks.
Oh, yeah. He went
to Villanova.
He sure did.
Mm-hmm.
Also take the over on DiVincenzo tonight.
There you go. There
is
you
it have. Tonight?
It is tonight.
Yeah.
All right, you
great stuff from George.
He's gonna be inspired.
This is what he brings to the table. It's robust. I love it.
He's gonna be inspired by the selection.
Knicks on their way, bro.
Yeah,
this is great for them. Are there gnats in here?
Yeah, there's nothing in here.
We're gonna need to get somebody on. Brad's off in Chicago.
We need Brad to come on down immediately.
Come clean,
in the middle of the segment.
Spray the place down in the middle of the segment or something.
Hey guys, we
have to get to his picks.
Brad be like, hey guys, don't breathe for the next 5 minutes, but I'm about to put some rat poison in this mug. You're like, all right, Brad. Brad went 1-1 last night. His record on the season is 21-17.
There you go.
He's been on
a heater of late.
Only one game tonight, which actually does make it kind of difficult, right? Because you only have one game and it's a smaller sample.
5-1 his last six.
But he's got a pick. Let's do it. Again, George is passing
filling
along these
in.
Picks on behalf of Brad. Now, he did send one in the group chat, and that was at 6:30 this morning, and I'm still trying to decode exactly what it is he was saying.
Yeah, I can't read this out word for word on air, But we did need a pick, and we did get a pick.
Timberwolves, and I should have set that up. Yes.
Yeah.
Golden State on the road at Minnesota. Again, we use odds from ESPN Bet.
Mm-hmm.
Minnesota minus 10.5 in game two.
Instead of going with the dogs, he is taking Minnesota minus 10.5. He is getting OKC vibes, rebounding from a disappointing game one to tie up a series. Obviously, that's based on the fact that he did not hit on Oklahoma City last night.
Yeah, he had Denver, right? He took
did.
The dog. So he is...
He's abandoning his approach that he had the last six games.
He said Oklahoma City. I appreciate you cleaning it up, because what he actually said in the group was, they vibe me like OKC did. Now, I don't know what they vibe me means. I mean, I guess he's saying shorthand they give me vibes like OKC, but they vibe me. You know, what the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
But yes, he is. And that's why ultimately Brad is a losing bettor, because he takes something that he saw most recently and he is now applying it to another situation that may have nothing to do with it, right? That does have nothing to do with it. He's saying, that's what my eyes saw last. That means it's going to happen again. And that's why the underdog trend was working for him, because in that case, it did. It did keep happening, but it normally would not have been happening like that.
I will say, I'll give him, I don't want to say this one feels easy.